Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to welcome you to our worship service this morning. Glad to welcome all of our viewers online. We're glad you're here, and I hope that you'll join us again. And if you are watching online, I'll remind you we are taking communion later in this service, and we invite you to get your communion elements ready there in your home so that you can take communion with us as we take communion here. I will remind you all that we are mask optional. If you have been fully vaccinated, you do not have to wear your mask, although we do ask for you to put it on as you come forward to communion, because we can't really socially distance very well during that time. So before you leave your seat, stick it on, and then take it off when you get back to your seat, as you desire to do. Other big news is that next Sunday we go back to one worship service at 10 o'clock. Yay. For those of you watching online, that means our online broadcast will be at 10 o'clock Eastern time. If you're not in our time zone, you make the adjustment. But it's 10 o'clock our time, so we hope you'll join us next week as well. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, so we will not be having Monday worship tomorrow, just because the office is closed. Then I want to discuss our creed today with you. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday, which means we get to do the third creed that the Lutheran Church uses to profess its faith. And if you would look at page 11, I think it is. Yes. No, 12.
Pages.
Page 12. The creed is on page 12, 13, and 14. Which is why we do this so seldom. But you will see why it is so appropriate for Trinity Sunday as we go through. And even more, Mr. Boatwright over there figured out a great way to break it up so makes it a little more interesting and a little more easy to go through. So there will be times when Vicar Amanda will do a part and times I will do a part. You guys have the bold print part. Okay, so y'all do the bold print. We'll do the other parts. And we'll make it through page 12, 13, and 14. So hang on. Vicar Amanda, your turn.
All right, my turn. So our fifth through 12th graders are invited to youth group this coming Thursday evening. And yes, 5th through 12th grade. And part of the reason we're doing a little bit younger is we're joining with Seven Oaks Presbyterian Church across the street for our joint youth group for this month. We're very excited. It's so much fun to have another youth group to play games with and have devotion with and things like that. It will be from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. That's a little bit of a change. So our 5th through 12th graders, 6 to 7, across the street on Thursday. Also, I would like to just say a little bit about the article I wrote in the Crossroads newsletter, if you have read that or seen that on email. On July 14th, my internship ends here, and Pastor Gary has decided that I needed to be as far, far away as possible. So he's gonna load me and my family and a lot of luggage up in the church bus and take us to the airport. Our family is going to go on a trip to Ethiopia, and we'll be there for about 3 weeks. One of the really wonderful things about us going back to Ethiopia is we have a very strong relationship with a family there. He is a pastor and she is a doctor, and they operate a clinic for women who are giving birth and caring for their children shortly afterwards. And they're in need of a lot of supplies. And so we have bags, and the girls have already been told that they each have two carry-ons that can hold 50 pounds each, so we're practicing with carrying. Yeah, they're all going to get it. So if you're interested in making any donations towards that in the Crossroads, there is a specific list because there are certain things that they need and certain things that we can purchase over there. But we'd welcome any donations, and thank you for your prayers as we travel over there. You can follow along with us through my blog. We'll be posting pictures and telling stories about our adventures each day. So we invite you to join us. Any questions, Pastor Gary?
No.
Okay.
You In your announcement that time, you answered the question I asked you last time.
Okay, I'm just checking. He had questions in the early service, so I just wanted to make sure he didn't have any questions this time. So, all right. Those are all my announcements.
Okay.
All right.
No, not yet. I got something else to do.
Oh, that's right. You have something else to do. Not my turn. I'm going to sit.
Today is one of those somewhat sad days in the life of our church. It's also a joy to do as well, but today we get to wish farewell and Godspeed to Karen Manny, who is leaving us to move back to Minnesota. Karen, if you'll come up, please. We'll try not to cry, okay? Karen, as you leave being present with our congregation, we wish to bid you farewell. A reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Karen, this is not a day we've looked forward to at all. You've given yourself and your talents to us in so many ways over the years. You've overseen our gatherings over meals. You've provided us with delicious desserts. There's some out there. You have kept the kitchen stocked with supplies. You've cleaned the kitchen numerous times. You've made quillos for our high school seniors. I could go on and on and on. We could be here the rest of the hour with stuff that you do for our congregation. You have cared for us and let us care for you. But more importantly, what you have brought to us is an example of life lived in faith and faithfulness. Today, as you leave us, we know it is in the sense that we won't see you here. But we want you to know this. You will always be present here. In our memories and in our hearts, we will feel you with us. And although the miles will separate us, please know you always have a home here. Karen, when you came to this congregation, we rejoiced to welcome you into the mission we share as the people of God. In this community, you have come to know and to share in God's loving purpose for you and for all creation. God has blessed you in this community, and God has blessed us through you. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for Karen and for the time we have shared with her. As she has been a blessing to us, so now send her forth to be a blessing to others. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Can I give you a hug?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the God of manna, the God of miracles, the God of mercy. Amen. Drawn to Christ and seeking God's abundance, let us confess our sin. God, our provider, help us. It is hard to believe there is enough to share. We question your ways when they differ from the ways of the world in which we live. We turn to our own understanding rather than trusting in you. We take offense at your teachings and your ways. Turn us again to you. Where else can we turn? Share with us the words of eternal life. And feed us for life in the world. Amen. Beloved people of God, In Jesus, the manna from heaven, you are fed and nourished. By Jesus, the worker of miracles, there is always more than enough. Through Jesus, the bread of life, you are shown God's mercy. You are forgiven and loved into abundant life. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith. Defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I invite the children to come forward for a children's sermon. Sit right by me, that's fine. Well, good morning. I'm glad to see you this morning, and I'm glad to see anybody that's also watching on their computer or TV. And I brought my lunchbox today. I brought my lunchbox because I thought there's something in here that might help us try our best to think about God. So when we talk about God, have you heard people say God the Father? Yeah, maybe. And so we talk about God as a parent who loves us very, very, very much. Have you heard people talk about Jesus, God's Son? Yeah, we talk about Jesus a whole lot, don't we? Yeah. And Jesus, how Jesus died on the cross and then rose again and was alive. Yep. And we also talk about
that on my stories.
Yeah, you have that on your stories? Yeah. That's very cool. I'm glad that you have that. And then we also talk about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God as well. But I thought that we only had one God. There's only one God, right? But we just said that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Oh! It's so confusing, isn't it? Yep, so confusing. And you know what? It's not just confusing for us. It's confusing for everybody out there as well. And you know what else? It's not just confusing for us and everybody out there as well. It's also confusing for Pastor Gary, too. Yeah, because if there's anybody that says that they can perfectly explain why that is, no. Because there's just so much that we can't know about God. But I thought my lunchbox might help us a little bit. Should we see what's in my lunchbox? Okay, let's see what's in my lunchbox. Let's see.
An apple!
How is that going to tell us about God? I don't know, but I brought something else. Now, we have to be careful, okay? Because I have a sharp knife to cut our apple. All right? So we're always, always careful with knives and let grown-ups use knives. So let's cut our apple. Let's cut it in half. And then we'll put the knife up. Okay, so here we have two halves of an apple. And there's different parts to this apple. What's on the outside?
Red.
Red on the outside? And green, a little bit of green on this apple. And so the apple has the skin of the apple. Now, does Mom or Grammy cut the skin of the apple off for you when you eat it?
My mom doesn't.
She doesn't? Oh, good. I don't cut it off for my kiddos either. So maybe sometimes people do, but there's the outside part of the apple.
Well, I like the apple.
Yeah?
Just like McDonald's.
Just like McDonald's, yeah. They don't have the skin on the outside, I don't think. So then there's the inside of the apple, the kind of meaty part that's nice and sweet and juicy. And what's on the inside of it? What's in the very middle? Can you see, Charlotte, what's in the middle of it? What are those brown things?
Stem.
Yep, there is a stem. What are those right there? Seeds. Yeah, seeds. Yeah, so we have the seeds in the middle of the apple, and we have the meat of the apple, and then we have the outside, the skin of the apple. Now, would this apple be an apple without the seeds in the middle? No, because it's part of an apple, right? Would this apple be an apple without the skin on the outside? No, we kind of need the skin on the outside to protect the inside. If it didn't have any of this good part to eat, would it still be an apple? It would? It would be a really skinny apple with just seeds and skin, huh? So all three of those parts are part of the apple. But it's all one apple, right? And while it's not a perfect comparison by any means, it still can help us try to understand how we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's three parts of God and three parts of the apple, but one apple. Oh, there's a seed. It hopped out. And three parts of the apple, but one apple. Three parts of God, but one God. Oh, yep. Three in one. Yep. It's kind of confusing, but that's okay because God loves us, and that's the most important thing that we need to know. Should we pray together? Let's do. All right. Dear God, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for loving all the people everywhere. And thanks for helping us try to understand, even though we may never understand all the things, and that's okay. And all God's children said, Amen. Thank you for coming up. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
A reading from Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temples. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. Two, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me. I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, Here am I. Send me. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. Over the years, many of you have suggested that the real truth is that Nan writes my sermons for me. Well, I have to give her a little bit of credit here, because this week she really did. It was early this week, and I was telling her the idea I had for this week's sermon, kind of thinking out loud and hoping for some inspiration to show up. "It's Trinity Sunday," I said, and so I was thinking of focusing on the apostolic greeting. I let that kind of hang there for a moment, and she said, "What's that?" And I said, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." I said, "It has the Trinity at the very heart of it, and it's the very first thing we say in worship each week." She looked at me and said, "Oh, honey, nobody's paying any attention at that point. We're all just getting settled in, and especially when the children were little and I had them with me as well." Well, I stared back at her because, you see, that's just the problem. We don't pay a whole lot of attention to the Trinity. Oh, we know it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but beyond that, many of us probably don't give it a whole lot of thought. And it is somewhat of an odd thing. The word Trinity isn't in the Bible at all. Most sermons are intended to focus on who we are and how we live as God's people, but the Trinity is all about who God is. Most Sundays and special celebrations in the church center around events in the earthly life of Jesus or other Bible people who were great men and women of faith. But this day, Holy Trinity Sunday, celebrates a doctrine. It's an odd thing. Nevertheless, it's important, maybe more important than we realize. And perhaps that apostolic greeting can help us get to the core of who and what the Trinity means. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ," it begins. Grace, not what we deserve, but what we need. And as I've told you several times before, Philip Yancey defines grace this way: there's nothing we can do to make God love us less. And there's nothing we can do to make God love us more. In other words, grace means that God loves us with all God is. And no matter what, God loves us with an everlasting love. Isn't that what that verse in our gospel reading today is about? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. That's the grace of Christ. We can't earn it, and we don't deserve it, but by it we are made new. The love of God. A Sunday school teacher reported that her class of youngsters was having trouble learning the Lord's Prayer. One child prayed, "Our Father who art in heaven, how did you know my name?" Well, the fact is that God does know our name. Indeed, God knows everything about us. You do that when you love someone. God loves all of us as if there were only one of us to love. God made each and every one of us, and God loves each of us with an overwhelming love. The communion of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's continuing presence with us daily, helping us in life, comforting us in sorrow, strengthening us in hope. It's God on our side and God at our side, our companion and our friend. The Spirit sustains us, calls us, empowers us, and fills us. By the Spirit, we live in faith. A speaker I once heard commented that once a year, every pastor should preach a sermon that is absolutely incomprehensible. That way, he concluded, the people will be reminded that they don't understand everything about God. The Trinity is a mystery like that. People try to explain the three in one and the one in three with all sorts of models, but the truth is that while they may be helpful, those models are all incomplete in one way or another. Here's what we know, and here's why we celebrate the Trinity. These are the ways we have experienced God. We've experienced God as the loving parent who created all and who will stop at nothing to claim us in love. We have experienced God as a Savior, a Redeemer who gave himself for us when we never deserved it, and who makes us new in grace. And we have experienced God as the Spirit, a presence of God with us and filling us and leading us daily. God is each of these things, and each person of the Trinity is all these things. Earlier this week, as I was talking about all this with Nan and how I was thinking about focusing on that first thing we say in our worship, she giggled and said, "Yes, we interrupt your life to bring you this greeting." No, this greeting fills our lives with grace, with love, and with faith. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let us confess our faith using the words of the Athanasian Creed. Whoever wants to be saved should above all cling to the Catholic faith. Whoever does not guard it whole and inviolable will doubtless perish eternally. Now this is the Catholic faith.
We worship one God in Trinity, and the Trinity in unity,
neither confusing the persons, nor dividing the being. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Spirit is still another. But the deity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory, co-equal in majesty. What the Father is, the Son is, and so is the Holy Spirit. Uncreated is the Father, uncreated is the Son, uncreated is the Spirit. The Father is infinite, the Son is infinite, the Holy Spirit is infinite. Eternal is the Father, eternal is the Son, eternal is the Spirit.
And yet there are not three eternal beings, but one who is eternal. As there are not three uncreated and unlimited beings, but one who is uncreated and unlimited.
Almighty is the Father. Almighty is the Son. Almighty is the Spirit. And yet there are not three almighty beings, but one who is almighty. Thus the Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
Thus the
Father is Lord. The Son is Lord. The Holy Spirit is Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord.
As Christian truth compels us to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so Catholic religion forbids us to say that there are three gods or lords. The
Father was neither made, nor created, nor begotten. The Son was neither made, nor created, but was alone begotten of the Father. The Spirit was neither made, nor created, but is proceeding from the Father and the Son.
Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three spirits.
And in this Trinity, no one is before or after, greater or less than the other, but all three persons are in themselves co-eternal and co-equal. And so we must worship the Trinity in unity and the one God in three persons. Whoever wants to be saved should think thus about the Trinity. It is necessary for eternal salvation that one also faithfully believe that our Lord Jesus became flesh.
For this is the true faith that we believe and confess,
that our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is both God and man. He is God, begotten before all worlds,
from the being of the Father, and he is man, born in the world,
from the being of his mother, existing fully as God and fully as man, with a rational soul and a human body, equal to the Father in divinity, subordinate to the Father in humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not divided, but is one Christ.
He is united because God has taken humanity into himself. He does not transform deity into humanity. He is completely one in the unity of his person without confusing his natures. For as the rational soul and body are one person, so the one Christ is God and man. He suffered
death for our salvation. He descended into hell
and rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people shall rise bodily to give an account of their own deeds. Those who have done good will enter eternal life. Those who have done evil will enter eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. One cannot be saved without believing this firmly and faithfully. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the Church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Gracious God, maker of all things, we look around at your vast creativity. In the midst of the stars of the universe, you also created each of us, each plant, and each animal. Wondrous God, help us to dwell in the midst of your unbound love of your creation. Guide us to accept the radical grace and mercy that you pour out for each of us and all people everywhere. Lord, in your mercy. Comforting God, in the death and resurrection of Christ, you promise us new life with you. In the fullness of the kingdom of God, there will be peace, compassion, and joy. Loving God, we remember all that have died before us, those in search of peace and freedom, those who suffered illness and disease, those that we think died too young, and those that lived long lives. May they all rest in your eternal love and peace. Lord, in your mercy. Healing God, you bring wholeness to humanity. You dwell with us in the midst of all adversity we experience. You bring us comfort and bear our burdens with us. Merciful God, we lift up those who are experiencing illness in mind, body, or spirit. We lift our individual and community prayers to you now. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, three in one, you bear the witness of relationship in your very essence, Creator, Son, and Spirit. You are in an endless sacred dance of divinity. God in Trinity, help us open our eyes to your creation and the way you invite us to create alongside you. Remind us of the redemption you have already claimed for each of us and all people. Stir our hearts to dance with you into the communities around us. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
'tis indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You reveal your glory as the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equal in majesty, undivided in splendor, one Lord, one God, ever to be adored in your eternal glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.